Well, we pray that the Lord will make His Word a blessing to us this morning. I've been so inspired about some of this for several days. But I want to start with some things I feel like the Lord gave me since then. And I'm thinking about Matthew 5 and 8. I'm sure some of the children know what that is. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, that is a precious few words, but it is very, very valuable. You know, in today's world, comparatively speaking, I don't think there's that many that really have a pure heart in this world today. But a pure heart is to be desired. It's a blessing to have a pure heart. And the Lord said blessed. That word includes in it happy. It's a blessed place to have a pure heart and not a dark heart or not a defiled heart. And the Lord tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So, you know, the Lord has given us a heart, and He has given us a way for that heart to be pure. And He's given us a way to see God and to make it to heaven. The Lord wants all of us to make it there. And so He didn't just leave us here. We're born with some heart trouble, aren't we? We inherited something from Adam, haven't we? And the Lord has to take care of that for us, not something we can do. But through God, the Lord can give us a pure heart. And I want to look at some scriptures this morning that Matthew 15 and 17, we'll start there and kind of examine some things and then look at what the Lord wants in our heart. But it says in 15 and 17 of Matthew, "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed." I want to catch that word as we begin to examine these verses. It says, out of the heart proceed some things. Proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. These Pharisees and different ones got real caught up in things like this. And they were very religious about it. But in their heart, they had things that were wicked. They did things that were unrighteous. And they knew it. And the Lord was telling them something here. He said, the things that defile a man is not whether he washed his hands or not, but it's whether his heart is pure. That's what he's saying here. He said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Now, isn't a thought in our mind? You know, I'm thinking about, I want us to differentiate so that we really understand. We all have thoughts come to us. We have to deal with those things. I've heard it said, your mind is like a busy street. But you know, you can do something about what lodges there and what stays there. A thought will come into your mind. Satan will make sure of that from time to time. And we have to make sure those things leave. But when evil thoughts are our meditation, when what proceeds from our mouth are evil things and evil thoughts, that tells us something. And thank God, He gave us some barometers to keep track of our heart. If out of our heart, if out of our mouth and our life proceed evil things, and our life brings forth evil fruit. You know, we want to know, Lord, I want a pure heart. You know, the pure in heart are the ones going to see God. And so when we start looking at the heart, we want to know what's coming out of our heart. Is love for mankind coming out of our heart? Is purity in our life, in our relationships, in the things that we look at, the things that we do? If those things are pure, you know where they're coming from? A pure heart. But you know, if we have some parts dark in our heart, and we do things that we know are sinful, you know, we have heart trouble. And the Lord wants us to examine that. The Lord wants us to know that. He doesn't want to put us in some kind of something where we're constantly under some kind of false condemnation, because surely I didn't measure to the exact criteria. The Lord, I'm not talking about accusations. But you know, sometimes people do evil and they know it. You know, that comes from a heart that needs to be rebirthed, reborn. The Lord wants to give us a new heart. And so this morning, as we look into the Word, let's look into the Word for ourselves, for our life. Lord, look into my heart. And I want a pure heart. I want to be able to see you. I want to walk with you. Only the pure and the holy are going to walk with God. And so this morning, as we look at several places, I want to think about Paul for a minute. Now, this says, out of the heart proceed evil things, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, and you could add many things to that list. That proceeds out of the heart. And I want to look at Paul's experience for a minute and see where he struggled in himself. And he was a very religious man under the old law. He tried to dot every I and cross every T and all of those things. But look at Paul's life under the old law experience. In Romans 7 and verse 19, it says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Now, you know what it's talking about there? He was doing things that he knew was wrong. Now, I'm not talking about accusation. I'm not talking about a thought that comes through your mind. Paul was doing things that he knew was wrong. He didn't have the grace, the power to do anything totally about that. But he said, he's confirming what we just read in Matthew 17. Out of the heart proceed some of these things. And Paul said, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Do you know, Paul he's not talking about just temptation here. He's talking about things he was doing. He said, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind." See, my mind, he wanted to do right. Paul wanted to. He was serving the Lord the best he knew by keeping the rules, keeping all of those things. But Paul's heart was not right. And so he says, "I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin." So here was another law, the law of sin. And it was bringing him into captivity to sin. And Paul said, "The good that I would, I do not. And the things that I shouldn't do, I do." There was a law there that was in his nature that was bringing him into captivity to sin. You know, this morning, we don't want anybody to feel hopeless. But I want to tell you something. The best thing we have in life is to know what God offers and to know the blessing that Jesus Christ came to bring. And so Paul said, I see, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And there's a lot in that. You could talk about what he was alluding to. He was alluding to a terrible situation that who can deliver me from the body of this death? It's killing me. It will take my life. I'm not able to serve God rightly. This was Paul's experience, and he tells about it under the law there. And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then he reverts back to what he was talking about, and he says, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, the eighth chapter, he begins to explain what Jesus Christ came to do. And he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, listen to the words that Paul says here. He says, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, Satan will try to bring condemnation, accusation against anybody he can. But I'm talking about the condemnation that sin is in my life, that I know I'm displeasing God. And he said, for the law of the Spirit, listen to this, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That he's just been talking about. Oh, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, you find Paul's writings completely different than his old law experience. And you find him giving hope. And he goes on to say, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. You know, there was a time that they said that you look at this Old Testament, you look at those five books Moses wrote, and you find it full of laws. If your neighbor's ox gets out, you take care of it. If this happens, you do this. If this happens, you do this. But all the law and all the prophets, it says, is contained in these two scriptures, that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And then we go on to see that law that was written in the Old Testament is written on men's hearts today. That is the privilege that we have, that nobody has to tell us every little thing to do. But the law is written in our hearts, that we love our neighbor like ourselves. And if his cow gets out, we help him put it in. If something happens to him, we go over there and help him. Nobody has to tell us to do that. See, there's a law that God wants to write upon our heart. And he wants to give us a greater law. And he says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The things that it said, you know what the Lord says today? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now get that on our hearts, and we'll do all those things, won't we? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay. I want to think a little bit more about the heart. The heart is the seat, isn't it, of affections. It's the seat of our desires, isn't it? It's generally concluded that out of that seat proceeds the things that happen in our life. And I want to look back in Ezekiel in chapter 36 and begin to look at what the Lord promised to his people way back there, because he knew they were under the law. And listen to what he tells them there in 36 and 26 of Ezekiel. He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Isn't that amazing scripture this morning? I've feasted on that for days. He said he would give us a new heart. That old stony heart that cannot please God. The Lord said, he prophesied of this before Paul wrote about it. Before the Lord wrote about the things he did. He said, a new heart I'm going to give you. I'm going to take out that stony heart. That heart that could not grow the good things. The heart that was too hard to grow those things that were righteous and true and holy. He said, I'm going to give you a new heart. And I'm going to give you a new spirit within you. And I will take away, listen to all these promises. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to give you a heart that's responsive, a heart that can love, a heart that can feel tender feelings, a heart that can forgive. I'm going to give this to you. The Lord said he was going to do this. You know, when we look in our heart and if we see a dark part, the Lord doesn't want us to be discouraged. He wants us to go a little deeper because the Lord came to bring us a new heart. He came to change things from the inside out. And so he says here, I will, listen to what he goes on to say. Not only is he going to give us another spirit, a whole new attitude. He's going to give us, and yes, we're going to have to work on ourselves. We're going to, the Lord, but he wants to change us starting inside. And he said here, I will put my spirit within you. What a blessing that is. The Lord said he would put his spirit within us. What a blessing. And cause you to walk in my statutes. I'm going to just cause you to walk in my statute. That spirit that is in you, that I'm going to put in you, me, I'm going to put myself in you, and I'm going to cause you then to walk in my statutes. And no more are you going to have to feel this utter failure, the things that I would, I can't do, and the things that I wouldn't, I do. The Lord said, I'll put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And listen to the promise. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now, you know, it's not this chapel or the name on this church that makes us his people. But we are his people because we are his people. Because he has covenanted with us. And because we take up our cross and follow him and love him, give our lives to him, we allow him to do that surgery on us and take out that old stony heart. We admit to it. We give it to God. We follow him. We dig deep with the Lord until the Lord is able to do the work that he wants to do in our life. And he says, I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. What a privilege. The Lord said he would do that. I'll save you. You know what, folks? If we find ourselves in a place where we need more of this, let's dig deep. Lord, I want to get to the place where you do that for me. I want to live in a way that pleases you. Now, folks, I know the devil is going to jump on tender consciences this morning because he wants to condemn. He wants to accuse. But I'm not talking about just condemnation and accusations that are not sinful things in our life. But when we know we're doing wrong, we need heart surgery. We need the Lord to give us a new heart. The Lord has a walk with him that we're not condemned. Thank the Lord. And he said, I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. Now, is that not a blessing? I'm just going to bless you real good, the Lord says. So this morning, I want to look into some other scriptures that the Lord has given. The Lord wants to give us, let's remember that soft heart. It's full of forgiveness and love. The Lord wants to give us a heart like that, that's full of forgiveness and love. He does. And so, yes, we have to seek grace for that. Of course we do. But he wants to give us a heart that can do that and that will do that. It's a blessing to have a heart like that. And he said, I'll take the stony heart out of you. That was the prophecy of the new generation, the new dispensation. Now, in Acts 1 and 4, I want to look at some more promise that the Lord gave to us. And I love this promise because, you know, Jesus gave us this, and it was the last thing he said before he ascended to the Father. In Acts 1 and 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And dropping down to 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Last thing that we have record of Jesus saying, he said, you wait, because after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you're going to receive power to be a witness of me, a real witness, a witness of my grace, a witness of my forgiveness, a witness of my cleanness that I want to give you in your heart and in your life. The Lord wants to do that. So, you know, when we look at a world, a Christian world all around us, so filled with the doctrine of failure, you know what the Lord told us? He gave us some promises. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you're going to be able to be a witness for me throughout the world. And so this morning, to the uttermost part of the earth, this morning I just want us to look up to that. The Lord gave us a promise. And I fear that many times people, especially in the Christian world, get saved. And I believe many times they do get saved. They follow the Lord for a while. But the Lord promised us that he would give us power. He promised us a gift more than just the stony heart. He said, I'm going to take that out. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit. And then I'm going to fill you with my spirit. All those things the Lord has given us as a gift to us. And he said, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem till you receive that. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us, I believe, to be filled and abound in the things of God. It comes from his Spirit. It comes from the blessing that he gives. And sometimes we just have to dig deeper. Lord, I want to be filled with your blessing this morning. In Matthew 19, you know, I want to quote one scripture from Titus 2. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In Matthew 19 and 4, I want to look at a set of scriptures here that the world, I believe they totally overlook what Jesus said. But Matthew, verse 4, it says, and he answered and said unto them, They came to him tempting him, and they said, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered and said unto them, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." God put this union together, and it is his seal of approval on marriage. "Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." They say unto him, "Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away?" He saith unto them, Moses, listen to this scripture, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery." His disciples say unto him, "If the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry." But he said unto them, well, you know, this little saying here, I don't understand, I really don't, why the Christian world stops reading somewhere in the middle of the ninth verse. But you know, the reason that we believe, the reason Jesus gave this precept, he said that whosoever it be, well, except for fornication, and I'm not going to go into that right now, but, and shall marry another, that's the part I want to deal with right now, I want to think about, shall marry another committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Now, his disciples were so taken back by this that they said, if the case of the man be so with his wife, if he can't get married again, it's not good to marry then. This is pretty stiff, Jesus. Then maybe it's best just not to get married if you can't get out of it like that and go marry someone else and all the... You know what? Jesus knew what he was saying. And he said, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, because salvation wasn't available to men yet, the time when Jesus would take that stony heart out and put in a heart of flesh and put his spirit in there to give power wasn't there yet. And the Lord knew, this is something men have to have the grace of God above other trials. This is a trial that men cannot do without the grace of God. And so he said, because of the hardness of your hearts, because it really wasn't possible at that time, Moses gave you that commandment. But he said, it wasn't so from the beginning. And he gave commandment that it wouldn't be so now. And so this morning, when we look at these scriptures, people stop and they fixate on the except it be for fornication. Many times, totally missing the whole point of what Jesus was saying here. And like I say, I'm not going to, that's a whole study in itself. But, and shall marry another. Folks, marriage is for life. The reason it is because the grace of God makes it possible. Because he gives us a heart that can serve him. It's tender to the things of God. Because he gives power for us to be able to live righteously in the worst of circumstances. Is this tough? His disciples said, well, if that's the way it is, I'm rephrasing. If that's the way it is, maybe it's better not to ever get married. That's what they said. You know, this morning, that's how real the grace of God is. That's how different the heart that he gives us now is. That's how strong the grace that he can give is. It takes the power of God. But he has it for us. He wants to give us that kind of heart, that kind of life. Paul was in a place there in his Old Testament experience, under the law, where he was doing, I believe, the best Paul knew to do. And at his best, it was impossible. But the Lord gives us promise of something better, doesn't He? And He said, after the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, you can be a witness to the uttermost parts of the earth. In fact, I'm going to send you there. And I'm paraphrasing and adding some words there, of course. But that's what the Lord wants to do. Does He want us to look at our situation? Does He want us to look at our call from the Lord, from the gospel, and say, I can't? Or does He want us to say, Lord, You promised, and I want it. And we fall on our knees and in humility plead with God, Lord, I need grace. I need strength. You're sending me out. I've got to have Your help. The Lord sends us into places. Do we feel strong all the time? No. But Paul found out that the Lord told him, my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's where my grace flourishes. That's what I want to fill you with. I want to take your weakness and I want to fill you with my grace. And so God wants to do that. So this morning, as we look at these kinds of scriptures, folks, let's remember, young people, marriage is for life. There is a no getting married again. Not under the New Testament dispensation. And so, Lord, help us each one to recognize the grace of God that He has given. You know, those people were unempowered. They were unable. It wasn't possible for them. Now, I want to look at Matthew 15 at another scenario here, starting at verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why did thy disciples transgress the tradition? Well, I guess we've read. Why do they transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, this morning the Lord wants a heart that is obedient to the things of God. He wants our heart to be there. These people were very religious people. They were very careful people in what they were careful in. But their heart, he said, was far from Him, far from God. And so we find that law working. In them even, religious people. And so this morning, I'm sure not trying to make anybody feel under condemnation, but you know, the Lord has something so good for us today. He has something that frees a man from sin and gives a man the power to become a true witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes from the work of the Holy Spirit done in our life. In Matthew 23... In 23, listen to this little scenario. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. You know, there's some weighty matters that are weightier than other matters. He said, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Not that we leave one and do the other, but many times people just get caught up in the form without the true heart. Lord, You are the center of my heart and life. And the Lord wants that to be the case for us today. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. So I just wanted to look at that. He says, cleanse first that is within. And I believe when we do that, the Lord wants to give us a life, lifelong life of service to Him, where He sends us out then and causes His will to be done in our life, because His Spirit is in there, because we have a new heart. And so when something begins to happen, we call out to God, Lord, I don't have strength for this. I don't know what to do. I'm not able to do this on my own. That's where we find it. That Spirit that Paul was told about. Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you're weak, then we're strong, are we not? Because we begin to call out to God. And that Spirit that is within us begins to empower us and give us strength this morning. In Galatians 5 and 19, I want to notice, it says here, now the works of the flesh are manifest, they're pretty easy to see, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. You know what? All those things, heresies, they come from the flesh. They come from the flesh that pulls back from the Spirit of God. And so he goes on to say, he goes on to say here, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, when those things are in somebody's heart, they come out, don't they? After a while, somebody is envious of someone else, they can't speak good of them because there's envy in there. They have to speak evil of them. It's going to come that way. But he goes on to say, revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, and I want us to think about this morning, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. These are the things that the Lord wants to cause to happen in our life. That Spirit that is dwelling within, that fruit that comes from that vine, that Spirit that He causes us to be able to love our neighbor. When they hurt us, when they do us evil, when they do us wrong, that He gives us that kind of heart and that kind of power. He says here, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. You know, I look at homes, I look at lives that have peace in them. You know what a blessing that is, to have peace in our life? This is no negative thing for us to try to reach something we can't reach. The Lord wants our life to have peace in it. He wants us to have those blessings, and He wants to just begin to fill our life with good things. That's why He doesn't ever want our life to become stale and stagnant and stop. He wants us to continue, and we'll read that maybe here in 2 Peter, where we add to our faith. He wants our faith to begin to have structure and begin to have more to it and more blessing. And He wants to add those things to our life. The fruit that comes out then, He says here, is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, this morning, the Lord, I want to leave us with that challenge that we dig deep enough, folks, that our life becomes a well of those good things that God wants to put in it, until our life becomes a service to man, until our life becomes a service to God, to begin to serve people in love and with meekness. And when they harm us and when they do us damage, that we take them something good in return, that we help them, that we don't get our feelings hurt and leave them. They need us. They need to see where they need to go. They need to see where there's love. They need to see where there is someone with peace in their heart in the time of trouble. That's why Jesus said, "My peace I give you, not as the world giveth, not the kind that goes away when a little something happens." Do we have to get on our knees? Yes, we do. We have to tell the Lord, "Lord, I need you right now. I'm hurting. They've hurt me. And Lord, I got to do them right. And I need the power of your Spirit to enable me to be able to actually come out of my heart with deeds of love, with words of love, with words that heal them." Do you know they have issues that need to be healed? That's why they do you hurt. That's why they do the wrong things, because they have issues that need to be healed. And what do they need? They need some folks that are full of the Spirit of God and that exercises it and falls upon their knees. "Lord, my brother needs help. My brother needs me." That's very different from the prayer, "Lord, get them back." You know, the Lord's looking for folks like that to empower, to send out as a witness of the grace of God. And so let's dig deep, folks. Let's dig until the Lord empowers our life and blesses us to be able to be a witness of those kind of things. Gentleness. Do you know the Lord wants to empower our life with gentleness? He wants to make us a gentle person. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not only for a few folks that were born that way. It's a fruit of God's Spirit in our life. And He wants to make us more and more gentle through the years. He wants us to be able to meet those times when we would not be gentle. And just, "Lord, you know, I need to be more gentle than I'm being." It is the power of God that enables us to do that. And so this morning, let's look to the Lord and allow Him to give us those things that are good. That are good. Thank the Lord this morning. 2 Peter 1. We're just about done here. 2 Peter 1 and 4. I love these scriptures. But listen to what he says here. Well, we'll start at 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy..." He didn't have to bring us this, but He did. "According to His abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." If the devil could have killed Jesus and put Him out of existence, we would have no hope. But He resurrected on the merits of His own power. And so, He has begotten us a lively hope by that power that God has within Himself. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." You know, this morning, the Lord wants to empower us. And maybe we'll save some of the positive side of this. Maybe the Lord will give us some more things to add to these things. Well, I've been thinking about that this week, that the Lord wants us to add to our faith virtue. Those things are found in 1 Peter. And we see how the Lord wants to give us many good things. Lord, add to our lives. Add to our lives. Cause us to be a real witness of your power in the place that I am in. I really believe that these things of the divine nature that God wants to abundantly put in our life, that's not just for when things are going good, but it's things that God wants to empower us with and give us. Lord, help us today, and lead us and teach us this morning. Give us of your Spirit. Help us to be able to be a proper example. Help us to dig deep. Help us to dig until we find you, a well coming up in our life, flowing out of our heart, flowing out of our life to others. I believe the Lord will do that for us if we'll humble ourselves to Him. Amen.